Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, what's happening? How are you today? Take in Tierney, company for the Take in Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage Wednesday around the country here. Take in Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got you for the next 3 hours. Simulcast on CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206, on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 855-212-4227. Interesting sports day as we get ready for Week 15 tomorrow. Lamar Jackson, the MVP front runner, officially questionable. He seems hell-bent on playing.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to play.
Yep.
Kawhi back to Toronto tonight. He gets his ring. There's a nice little subplot there. But listen, our bomber struck, and they had to.
But you knew it was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I was fairly confident. I did say a few times on the air, I thought the Yankees, you know, they just seemed motivated differently to make this happen. I mean, listen, the Yankees have shown one thing here. When they want to get somebody, they're going to do whatever it takes to get them. And, you know, there are a couple of, and I was a little mystified a year ago, like, well, why didn't the Yankees do something more aggressive at the trade deadline? Why didn't the Yankees do something more aggressive the previous free agent, last offseason? You know, I think a lot of the moves that the Yankees have made have been really lining up to make sure that they get Gerrit Cole. They knew he loved the Yankees. He was a Yankee fan as a kid, and they opened up the book. I mean, yeah, 9 years is a long time, and it's probably going to, you know, CeCe went through that for the most part. And CeCe was still valuable at the end for different reasons, more so than great pitching at the end. But, and CeCe's going to join us today, by the way. But Gerrit Cole is the hammer the Yankees need. He is a difference maker, and now the Yankees are officially back to being the Yankees.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they got to stay healthy. They've proven that they'll spend money, which is something they haven't done in a while, because for the last 3 or 4 years, it's almost like they've intentionally not spent money, not to get into the luxury situation and be hammered on the head. And it was almost like, we think we can win it all, but we're not sure we can win it all, so we're not going to overspend if we can't actually win it all. It was a weird dynamic going on with a team that historically has always put money on the table for the top stars. And now, given Gerrit Cole and his Cy Young pedigree, so to speak, they finally have the top-end starter that every really great team needs. And the Yankees have been good. I'm not crushing their starters. Tanaka's been good. CeCe and Spots, you know, had his moments.
Paxton has some spots as well.
Spots as well. Like, they had
Severino
guys.
Severino when he's healthy.
They had
sure.
guys, but none of them were like, that's the guy.
No, they weren't. They didn't have that guy.
They have the guy now in Gerrit Cole, and we'll see how it changes around him. Again, health is the biggest thing for these Yankees. But we'll see how the mentality changes up in the Bronx now that Gerrit Cole is the unquestioned ace. Last couple years, who's the ace?
It was Tanaka, and you felt good about it, but you didn't think he was going to give you 8 2/3 with 13 strikeouts. You'd be in the bullpen. The ace is Gerrit Cole by virtue of the big contract and the sick stuff. You know, the other thing that the Yankees are able to do this, number one, they've got the resources, but also you look at Judge, you look at Gleyber Torres, you look at Sanchez, they're able to operate in a space that they really haven't been able to operate since really the 90s when they drafted and developed the Jeters and the Posadas and all those young kids, because the Yankees, you know, re-emphasized that they had a complete organization recalibration, and I think it was necessary. And they went out there, and their farm system is stocked. They can make more moves. They can make trades. So it's amazing. As the Red Sox are getting ready to try to get rid of David Price, and very well will get rid of Mookie Betts in all probability, here's the Yankees swinging for the fences. And, you know, I got to tell you, like, I asked this question. Who's the villain in the NBA? There's no villain in the NBA. Tell me, LeBron?
Well, I mean, not anymore, because everybody's moved away.
Correct.
Like, there's no... There's nobody you focus on and like, God, can you believe it was the Golden State Warriors?
For a minute when they got Durant,
as great as they were and as exciting as it was to follow them, and if you weren't even a fan, you rooted for them. Then they get KD and it's like, okay, they're the villain.
Correct.
We want to see them lose.
But that's dissipated.
There's villain in the NBA.
Who's the villain in the NFL? It's got to be the Pats.
It's still the Pats.
But they're on, I mean, what is this going on? First of all, Brady might be gone next year.
Yeah.
And even if he's not, they're not what they were.
True.
So, yeah, it's the Pats from a... We're conditioned to hate the Pats or, you know, however you want to frame it.
No, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Because it's been a decade plus. And so
it's been 2 decades.
Maybe, yeah, 2 decades, really. 20 years. Yeah. When you think about it.
Yep.
Tom Brady started, what, his fourth year, third or fourth year? He started playing. And
that was earlier than that, when Bledsoe got popped. Yeah, he got popped in, was that against the Jets in 01?
Yeah.
Or was that 2001 when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe early?
So it's been.
Yeah, he wasn't waiting until his fourth year to play. So he got out there a lot earlier than that.
So it's been 20 years.
He's been playing for a long time. He's been waiting for a long time.
So it's like conditioned villain.
Correct.
Not necessarily the current villain, because they're good, but they're not the best team in the NFL
right now. We needed this. Sports needs villains, and I really believe that sports needs the Yankees to have a villainous cape. When the Yankees don't have a dark cape, the Yankees, the sport...
Why is that, though?
I don't know. I think part of it is jealousy. I mean, let's be honest. When you have the ability to cut a check for $324 million with no regard to the future.
But the Dodgers did that. I mean, the Dodgers had the highest payroll in baseball a couple of years ago, right? It was like over $300 million. It was ridiculous. But they never became the villain.
Because they've never won. Like, yes, there's a great – we romanticized the Dodgers for sure.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, you know, going back to Koufax, they finally broke through, and the Brooklyn Dodgers finally won a championship in 55. But the Yankees own baseball. The Dodgers were cute. The Dodgers were a cute little story.
But it's been a long
lost
time.
Their year in the World Series.
True. Last couple years.
I'm talking about back in the day.
Oh yeah.
Like in the 50s. Yeah, they finally
cracked
through.
They did it again. A couple years ago.
So they don't have the Yankees DNA.
I hear you.
And plus, there's the vitriol, you know, pertaining to sports. The West Coast doesn't generate. I know the Dodgers Giants is a good one, but the Yankees Red Sox rivalry at its apex, I mean, it was combustible. People feel that.
The only thing that makes me think differently is that the Yankees haven't won in a decade.
That's why they're spending. If they're not used to this.
2009
That's right.
was the last time that they won a World Series, and you think, I mean, the hate, the dislike. It's dissipated.
I agree.
Because they've been really good, and they have interesting players, the Aaron Judges of the world, etc. So it makes you feel good about them again, but not hate them. I think the villain in Major League Baseball is the Astros, and it's interesting because it wasn't until 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago that you started to look at them as the villain because of the way that they built themselves with their farm system. And we talked multiple times after they won the World Series of the Sports Illustrated cover prediction because how they were building their team, and it was right. They actually got the MVP right as well. It just felt like a likable team.
The Astros.
The Astros.
They didn't become villains until they got pinched for cheating.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So they did it the right way.
Yeah, they did, for sure.
They took an aging, man, he's at the end of his career, Justin Verlander, and now he's winning Cy Young's at, what is he, 36 years old?
36.
And so it's like they did it the right way until the cheating scandal. However, have they even played that out? What's
going
to happen?
No, they're going through this.
Whatever it is,
until the ruling comes, we'll be talking about it.
You love the Astros.
Well, I have great respect for their organization.
There's no doubt about it.
I don't anymore.
But now they feel like the villain. They are the villain.
But that's going to subside because think about this: Gerrit Cole is now gone. Mm-hmm. Verlander was rocked in the postseason. Listen, he's still very, very good. But they might trade Correa.
Yeah.
I don't know that their staying power is as much a guarantee as some people think.
Well, look,
the pitching?
If you're not getting the signs of what's coming, you know.
Where's the pitching?
Is Jose Altuve taking that high fastball over the left field fence if he doesn't know it's coming?
I'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to think that he's great enough. I'm going to give him the respect and say, yeah. But I mean, it makes it a little bit easier for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so then we have co-villains, if you want to make it that way.
Yes.
And
definitely co-villains. The Yankees won't be villains again because I don't think the money matters anymore. Like how much money people are giving out doesn't matter. Like Bryce Harper got, what, $313 million?
$330
over 13 years. Manny Machado got a ton of money. Like, people are giving money. Money is not the issue anymore.
It's the winning that's going to come now. It's the winning. But that's what's going to come. The Yankees are going to start ripping off. Teak, I've seen this my whole life. I mean, you have to understand.
But it's been a decade, though.
I understand it. But it's the same exact script. What makes it interesting? You got to look at this. So the Yankees win the World Series in 2000. Mm-hmm. They win it. They lose it in 2001 to the Diamondbacks. Everybody remembers that.
Yep.
9/11, broken bat, base hit up the middle off Mo. Boom. They lose it in 2003. They get knocked out early in 2002. I think that was the Angels in 2002. And then in 2003, they lose to the young upstart Marlins team with all those young arms, right? Beckett, et cetera. So then they go on. There's this general malaise where, you know, a couple years they don't qualify for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Things are getting a little lean. 1 year they didn't qualify. And then they said, whoa, this is not the Yankee way.
Yeah.
And they go out in 2009. CeCe Sabathia, who joins us coming up next hour, A.J. Burnett and Mark Teixeira, $250 million.
Yeah.
They win the championship in 2009.
Yes.
Okay.
But was that team hated? Because of how they won it.
There was still lingering. No, you mean the team that won it in 2009?
Yeah, in 2009.
No, but there was lingering animosity from. They still had a villainous characteristic from the previous Yankee team, and some of the guys were still there.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, like, people hated Clemens. It was an embarrassment. It was an abundance and an embarrassment of riches. But now here we are. Okay, so they do what they did in 2008, they win it in 2009. And it's the same script, almost the same amount of years. You know, all right, you know, you're knocking on the door. You have three non-playoff seasons, 84 wins twice and 85 wins. And Yankee fans are like, wow, I mean, George Steinbrenner's now, he's been gone for a while. Is this the new Yankee way? And
felt like it.
And part of it was welcome because you draft players, you develop players. There's a more of an organic feel, but you needed the hammer. Tanaka, love him, not the hammer. Paxson, love him, not the hammer. This guy is the hammer. And baseball is going to start hating the Yankees again because they're going to start destroying people again.
But
and
only,
I love it.
But only.
I love
only it. Only if they win. Only
oh,
if they
yeah,
win.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you know,
and
yeah,
they got to win.
Yeah, you got to win. Yeah. And I'll tell you this. Forget about the Yanks for a sec. This is so good for baseball. Think about what happened last year. Machado signed on February 19th.
That's right. I mean, it was like, man, are these guys going anywhere? Does anybody want these guys?
February 19th. Bryce Harper signed on February 28th. Keuchel and Kimbrel signed in June.
Yeah.
After the draft for compensatory purposes, blah, blah, blah. Baseball needed an offseason with action. And here we are, Strasburg, 7 years, 240, boom, staying put. Gerrit Cole completely flips the balance of power from the Astros to Yankees. And how about this? I just saw this tweet. So, and it makes sense because I've been following these stories. The Red Sox could move Betts.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs are likely to move Bryant.
Yeah.
The Indians are likely to move Lindor.
Isn't it hard to trade Bryant? Isn't it hard to trade?
No, as I said yesterday, they just need to figure out if it's that extra year because that'll determine what they could ask for in return, what kind of hole they could get back. That'll be rectified soon. The Astros might move on from Correa, and I read a story today that the Rockies are entertaining offers for Arenado, which would completely change the third base market of Bryant and Donaldson.
Yeah.
So this is the offseason that baseball really needed, and I love it.
Well, you know what it tells me?
Well,
is that it's not about the bats. It's not about the guys that are going to hit home runs. It's not about the guys that excite you day to day that matter in baseball. It's about the guys with the arms. And I'm not just talking about the Cy Young winners who are finesse pitchers like Dallas Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the power pitchers who are going to blow you away. You're going to take the ball and throw 200 innings or close to it if you're allowed to get to 200 innings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But be that guy. That guy is valuable. Strasburg is kind of that guy.
For sure.
Gerrit Cole is definitely that guy. If one of them comes available, we're coming to get him.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
If a Bryce Harper comes available, yeah, we want him, but we'll wait. That's what it feels like.
You know,
you need the arm in 2019.
Especially in October. There's
That's
nothing
right.
worse than grabbing a piece of wood and they're all night games.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, 37 degrees out, and you're getting buzzed on the handle.
Uh-huh.
Guy throwing 99 with late movement.
Yep.
I mean, and think about a lot. You know, you're not going to get that out west, obviously. But when the Giants played in the postseason, won those three World Series, San Francisco was obviously very different than Southern California, Chile, New York. Whether it's the Yankees or the Mets, Chicago, the Cubs or the White Sox. White Sox obviously were in the World Series years back, 10 years ago, whatever it was. you have some Boston when they're good. It's cold. I know Houston's indoors, but the Indians are a perennial playoff team. It's chilly and clear. You have a guy that can throw gas and has multiple pitches. I mean, it is different than having, you know, seven or eight guys that can smash 30 bombs because the seams are different and the ball's juiced up.
And then in October, they go cold.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
So here's the poll question. Correct, Teague. With the Yankees breaking the bank for Cole, has the evil empire regained the top spot on the most hated franchise list? We put this up there. 48% of you say yes. 18% of you say no. And I put the other option is the Astros. And then in parentheses, I put cheaters. And 34% of you are still reserving that animosity for the Astros.
I think it's going to be the Astros.
And, well, let's
people
get some
hate
calls.
The Astros right now.
855-212-4227. You might hate the Yankees. You might, maybe that hate kind of dissipated a little bit. I believe this triggers it because now you realize that the Yankees have resources nobody but the Dodgers have and a willingness to spend. And now they're going to bludgeon you with the bats. And now they have the requisite arm to really, you know, make sure they close out series here. And I just think it's good for baseball. They were kind of baseball's in a great space. The Braves are really good. The Nationals won the World Series. The Astros have been great. I mean, all these, the Padres farm system's coming. Toronto has three sons of major leaguers. The Toronto's coming in. I mean, Cardinals are a terrific fan base. But without the Yankees being the Yankees, baseball's never at its apex. And I believe the Yankees are back to being the Yankees, and it's awesome. Unless you hate it. And we'll get some calls in this coming up. 1-855-212-4CBS. All right, so we've got CC Sabathia coming up next hour. Phil Simms joins us next hour as well. Question for you. We could debate this a little more thoroughly today. If Lamar Jackson, and he's listed as questionable, I know he wants to play, you know, for the greater good, do the Ravens need to intervene and say, this is a team we can beat without him, which is probably true, the Jets tomorrow night.
Short week.
Make sure our guy's ready for the stretch run. If you're the Ravens, what would you do? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney. CBS Sports Radio's 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So the Yankees are officially back, which means there's officially palpable pressure on the manager the way it used to be. You know, back in the day with Billy Martin all the way to Joe Torre and, of course, Girardi. And now Aaron Boone, despite back-to-back 100-win seasons to start, now that he's got a certified ace, he's going to have a little pressure. And Cole obviously changed the equation. Here is Aaron Boone on the new edition.
You're talking about a guy that, you know, is the best of the best, you know, and a guy certainly in the prime of his career. So anytime the potential to add that kind of impact performer to, you know, what we already feel like is obviously a very good rotation.
Okay, so now you got to start winning the big one there, Mr. Booney.
Yeah, and, well, really, Garrett Cole's got to start winning the big one.
Well, but you're not going to get rid of Garrett Cole. You're going to get rid of the manager if you don't start winning.
True.
World Series.
Look, playing in New York is an interesting phenomenon. So Garrett Cole excelled. Really, he's excelled his whole career, but he excelled in Houston. Partly because, I don't want to say there was no pressure on him, but it wasn't a ton of pressure. It's like, hey, you got another ace. You got two guys that are amazing. And so in tandem, it was easier, right? You could have an off day and you know what? You're going to get picked up the next day. And then at the break, you get Grinky. And it's like, we have the best rotation in baseball. The pressure is not necessarily there. Now you come to New York and you're making $324 million over 9 years, which is ridiculous. Awesome for him, but just, man. Wow. That's just, I think about that money.
That's
like, man, are you kidding me? Right? And so, but the expectation is going to be humongous for him in New York. Now, we've seen this in many different ways, in different sports in this city, and the pressures that come from being the man. We saw how Eli handled it once he became established. He got his big contract. I believe it was after his fourth year, maybe his fifth year. He'd had a Super Bowl under his belt. So he was in a similar vein that we look at as Garrett Cole, the guy on the sports team in New York who has championship pedigree, has a huge expectation. How are you handling both the positive and the negative? Mm-hmm. Now, we saw how Eli handled it. Eli was steady Eddie. Whether you're praising me, whether you're dumping on me, whatever you're doing, I'm steady Eddie. I'm going to say the right things. It's going to roll off of me. Garrett Cole seemingly, and I don't know him personally. We've never talked to him on the show.
We haven't had him on.
You rarely hear him talk interview wise, but it seems to be a fire there, right? There seems to be I can't even put it in the words that are acceptable for radio, but he'll get fiery at you, right? If things go the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right for New York?
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to thrive in New York? Because that's the question. Like, look at Carmelo in New York. Mm-hmm. When he was successful, great. When he wasn't, it wasn't so great, right? So there's many different ways that you can handle playing on this kind of stage.
That's true.
Is Garrett Cole suited to do it in New York?
I believe he is, and I think it's a really fascinating look into the mind of many athletes who have passed through this city. You know, New York's eaten and swallowed up a lot of really good players that just didn't work out well.
Right.
And not just players who were drafted here, but more specifically players who were brought here with an expectation to deliver championship or get to that next stage or beyond. And, you know, really, you know, without going back to the 50s, well, there wasn't any free agency back then anyway, but the first one was Reggie.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, the only athletes that have fallen a little short in New York are the ones who were brought here with an expectation that didn't match their skill set. Reggie Jackson was brought here because Reggie Jackson was a beast. Reggie delivered.
I hear you.
A-Rod was brought here because A-Rod was a beast. It took a little while. A-Rod delivered. Mark Messier was brought here because Mark Messier was a beast, and Mark Messier delivered. The guys that are a tier below that are the ones who have sometimes struggled because they try to be something they're not. My point is, Garrett Cole is at the top of his game and at the top of his field. He will be just fine.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting question to ask CeCe, because CeCe was brought here
to be that guy.
And he delivered. He delivered, but he also had this easy demeanor. He was fiery on the field. Mm-hmm. I mean, even last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? He was cussing at the guy walking to the bench.
It's happened a few times. He
had that, like, that fire that felt like a New Yorker, but his personality is like chill.
You're correct.
Right? So it kind of fit perfectly here in New York. It'll be interesting to see how he handles it, because it's a different kind of pressure, especially if things go south just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking about like he falls off the table and, he's not worth his 300.
I know what you're saying.
Not his 300. That's never going to happen.
He's good, but he's not great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Does he live up to his 324 million? That's what it'll be. And if he goes a little bit south, people say, he's not worth it. Well, can he come back out of it and prove him wrong? That's the question that you ask about New York. Because once they start getting on you, they don't ease up until you prove them wrong.
You gotta crack through.
Yeah, you gotta
prove them
wrong.
They're
not gonna
hold your hand and say, let's walk together to get through the threshold.
That's right.
They're like, we're waiting here. When you get your act together,
that's right,
we'll stop booing you.
Which is exactly what happened with Carmelo, it feels like.
Yeah. Carmelo's so interesting. Another one was Gary Carter, who, and may he rest in peace, the kid died way too young.
Yeah.
He left this earth way too young. Gary Carter was one of the absolute best players in baseball with the Montreal Expos, brought here as the final piece to the Mets puzzle because the Mets were really good in 84. They were even better in 85. They needed him. He comes, World Series, boom. They deliver in 86. He hit a home run on opening day off Neil Allen and the Cardinals in his first game as a Met. He had big game chops. He started the rally. Bill Buckner's error, he was the one who got the first base hit. So, the superstar always finds a way to swim. Earl Monroe, when he was brought here to pair with Clyde Frazier, these two egos, do they both need the ball? Now they find a way to make it work. Carmelo's the one guy, but I also think he was so one-dimensional. I don't know. I mean, I never viewed Carmelo as one of the five or six best players in basketball.
Yeah,
always
I hear
maybe the best scorer for a couple of years.
But the trade felt like so important. You know what I mean?
You know,
like important.
It was definitely important.
Yeah.
It was important. But it was made even more important. Any success he had was probably overstated. Any failure was overstated because the Knicks have been in such a bad space.
Yeah, so it wasn't all him.
Differently
it
to
wasn't
him.
All him. And if the discerning minds could realize, it wasn't all him.
Correct. Correct. All right, Garrett Cole. What do you think, Ack? How's he going to do in New York City?
Very well.
Exactly. Did I miss anybody? Gary Carter, Earl the Pearl.
You'd have to. These are going back.
Reggie Jackson, A-Rod,
Dave DeBuscher,
Messier,
all the sports.
Dave DeBuscher, DeBuscher for the first
year
Knicks.
Too. That's right. That's right.
And a
little
guy
more current.
Yes, I know. And a guy that will go very much unnoticed, but had a very big impact. Butch Goring
from the Islanders.
They picked him up. They won 4 Stanley Cups.
I'm getting a little nerdy for us with the Butch Goring reference, but I like it. I like nerdiness.
He was a very big part of it, though.
As I'm sitting here like, who?
I'm looking at Al Arbor, Dennis Potvin, Clark Gillies.
They needed him.
Billy Smith.
Man, sucks.
Yeah, that's
Pot
a good chance.
You wanted a different guy who came in before but became
before
an
integral part. Before that? What,
No. Before what I'm about to get to.
Gotcha.
Before the title started for the Yankees in the 90s, Paul O'Neill.
Hmm. Yeah, oh, listen,
wasn't the last piece, but an integral part of it, though.
For sure, but now you're going in a different direction. Yes. I'm talking about the guy.
The last
when he
piece
was traded
puzzle.
For Roberto Kelly, he was thought to be initially a platoon guy, can't hit lefties, a little hot-headed. I'm talking about the unchallenged star at the top of his field.
Yes.
They always find a way to swim. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Axe update is coming up right now. We've got inbounds, out of bounds after that. CC Sabathia at hour number two. Exactly what Garrett Cole will face from a pressure point of view. And Phil Simms will join us in hour number two as well as we get ready for week 15. Here's Axe update right now. Tiki and Tierney back on this pretty busy Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio. Time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros and make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so obviously we start with the Garrett Cole signing here as the Yankees get their thumper, their hammer, the top of the rotation. And that is the poll question today. With the Yanks breaking the bank for Cole, has the Evil Empire regained the top spot on the most hated franchise list? Right now, 47% of you have voted on Tiki and Tierney. Yes. 21% of you say no. And 32% of you go with the other option, which is the Astros. And then, of course, in parentheses, the cheaters. Hey, by the way, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown between Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Titans. Others will see Kansas City hosting Denver and other regional action. It all starts week 15. JB and the guys setting up the day on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS. And speaking of the NFL today, one of their main pieces, Phil Simms, will join us coming up 1 hour, 1 hour and what is it? 4:20 Eastern. So next hour, and then CC Sabathia in 20 minutes. So we got a lot of stuff juggling here, and let's get to inbounds, out of bounds. Here we go, D-Cell.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, let's go. So the Saints, they fell to 10-3 after a dramatic 48-46 loss to the Niners this past weekend. And like the Niners, and we discussed this yesterday, Niners had some injuries. Their starting center went down. D. Ford got hurt. Sherman hurt his hamstring. The Saints as well. They're dealing with some crippling injuries from the game, too. Some residue. Both teams came out anything but unscathed. After the game, the team announced the 2018 first-round pick and starting defensive end Marcus Davenport is lost for the season. Ugh. The team also fears they will lose starting defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins for the year. He's been hurt a couple of times in his career so far. That's not good. I think he was the 12th overall pick a couple of years back, 12 or 16, whatever it is, with an ankle injury. So, inbounds, out of bounds, kind of a tough question out of the chute.
It is.
Despite the injuries, the Saints are still a top five team in the NFL.
You know, I'm going to say inbounds. Their defense has been such a big part of their success. But I still got to believe in Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, who's had a couple of off-ish games, not the explosive offensive production that we've seen out of Kamara. Michael Thomas is a stud, as I said, and Drew Brees can figure it out. Jared Cook has turned into a really good tight end. Well, he's always been a good one, but he's been targeted a lot. He got a concussion this past weekend. He should be back available, even though we should check the injury report to be positive, because he got drilled. I mean, he was unconscious. When you're unconscious, sometimes you actually end up missing the next week as well. But I think they have the offensive weapons to sustain some of the losses on the defensive side of the ball. Tepidly, I'm going to say inbounds.
You're going to say tepidly. Inbounds, I'm going to say pretty aggressively out of bounds at this point. I don't see it. I don't feel it. you know, again, the way it's framed, are they still a top five team in the NFL? They're not better than the Niners. They're not better than the Ravens. I don't know that they're better than Seattle.
It was a close game against the Niners. I mean, they could have and maybe should have beat them.
But they didn't. Sure. And it was at home.
It's a toss-up.
We're splitting hairs.
If it was a tie, if it was a tie, I would say I could go either way. Niners, or if it was a tie for five,
yeah.
I could go either way.
I think the Chiefs are better at this point. They're getting their act together. I don't love Green Bay as much. I think the Saints are right now around 6 or 7. And here's the other thing. The way the NFC stacked up, they're going to have to go on the road to play a playoff game. So I know that was tight, 2-point loss at the Superdome. In my opinion, I know things can change on a dime in the NFL, but in my opinion, if that Saints team goes into Levi Stadium or even, you know, Seattle for a playoff game, I think they go at home. So I believe that they're just outside of the top five. Good team, but just outside of the top five.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so tonight, new Clippers star Kawhi Leonard makes his much-anticipated return to Toronto after spurning the Canadian city following their NBA title run, which still almost seems mythical. Like, the Raptors won the championship. It's crazy. And they're pretty good this year. Now, the team's going to give Leonard his championship ring tonight, which is like the size of a brass knuckle. It's a monstrosity. It's incredible. And former Raptors teammate Kyle Lowry pumped to have him back.
I think the organization appreciates him. I think what he did and as a basketball player and win the championship, it was great. And I think it's going to be a good moment for him, and I think he's going to be really, really happy to get his ring.
All right, Kyle Lowry, always the voice of reason there. So here's the question. Obviously, they're going to... Oh, well, hold on, pardon me. However, Kawhi, let's hear from Kawhi. He thinks he's going to get a little mixed reception from the fans.
I mean, there'll be some cheers, but definitely, I think, more boos because they want to win the game. Not going to be cheering for a player that's on the opposing team. They're still rooting for the Raptors.
All right, so here's the question. Fans will boo Kawhi before and during the game.
No chance. Inbounds. They love Kawhi. Even if they don't know Kawhi, they love Kawhi. Because
so you're saying out of bounds, though?
I'm saying out of bounds. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no chance that they're booing him.
Gotcha.
Out of bounds. They are not going to boo Kawhi Leonard.
Uh-huh,
I mean, think about where the Raptors were.
They were pretty good.
And perpetually under the thumb of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, going nowhere ever.
Uh-huh. The Rolling Stones under my thumb.
Exactly. And now Kawhi comes kind of on a whim.
Yeah.
It's kind of random. I went out of San Antonio. Where's he going to end up? Oh, he's in Toronto. And wins a championship.
So random.
So think about it. It might be the most random player movement incident in the history of the NBA.
Especially from a marquee player. Yeah, right. I don't know that I would challenge that statement. I'd have to really think really thoroughly, but that's sitting at the top of the list, at the top of mind for sure.
Because when it happened, I was like, huh?
We were all stunned.
And then they bring Danny Green with you and win a championship?
I know.
Yeah, no.
Mess around, get the championship.
They are going to cheer him.
I agree.
And I bet some of them have his jersey. Remember we asked all last championships, any of you guys have Kawhi's jersey? No, we don't have his jersey.
Yeah.
You better get Kawhi's jersey.
I want to see what the guy who sits courtside.
Right.
I want to see what he's wearing tonight.
Yeah, the guy with the beard and the turban.
He's got the turban. He's been there forever. I'm going to say out of bounds. This is a no-brainer for me. What he brought to that city, I mean, forget about economically. I mean, hockey is up here. Basketball's always been down here. I mean, he got it somewhat level, even if it was only for a minute. I mean, he just unified the whole play. Just amazing. Now, I will leave the door slightly ajar, although I don't even think that this will happen, where he gets a rousing ovation to start. That's for sure.
Yeah.
When he gets his ring, rousing ovation.
Yep.
When he gets introduced, rousing ovation. Then when the game starts, you might have a little separation, a little transition from let's honor a guy who won us the championship to now literally he's the sporting enemy. Some people might subscribe to that, but this man's going to feel the love tonight, and he should.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Nick Saban has developed the legacy of winning at Alabama, and many of his assistant coaches have rode a success to head coaching jobs elsewhere, as we know. Names like Mark D'Antonio with Michigan State, Jimbo Fisher's done it, Will Muschamp as well, Lane Kiffin. All those names come to mind. However, on HBO Doc, I did not see this yet. I heard it's phenomenal. Have you seen
it? I didn't see it either.
HBO documentary, Belichick and Saban, The Art of Coaching. This is something I have to get to over the next day or two. Saban expressed frustration with former assistants Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt poaching his other coaches when they moved on to Georgia and Tennessee, respectively.
We've always had sort of a mutual respect for how we sort of take each other's people. What I have a tough time with, all right, is we've had however many guys that have worked here that are at Georgia, Tennessee, or whoever, wherever, is when they get those jobs, in most cases, you help them, that they have a hard time understanding why they can't take your people. I'm going to help you get a job so that you can take what I've tried to build here and destroy the continuity of what I have. And it's amazing how some of the assistants don't understand why that's not a good thing.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff there from jolly old Nick. Happy Nick Saban. All right, so coaches poaching their former team to build their new staff is in or out?
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because think about what that does to Saban's program. Because not only are these guys good coaches, they're also the recruiters. And so you're undermining Saban. Not that they care about Saban, but from a Saban standpoint, it just feels like shady and backdoor, and I don't know. And not only that, you get former assistant Lane Kiffin, who went down to FAU for a few years, and now he's back at Ole Miss. Ole Miss. He's back at Ole Miss in the SEC, and he's taking like the DB coach and the strength and conditioning coach.
The theater is phenomenal.
I mean, it's great for us.
You think it's out of bounds? You think it's below board?
Say
really?
This is out of bounds, man.
Come on. You got to do what you got to do, man. You got to do what you got to do.
I feel like you're burning bridges, man.
Well, here's the thing.
I really do.
All right, listen, I certainly respect that. And there's a part of me that not only understands it, but agrees with it. But my answer is in bounds, and I'll tell you why. Because if his former coaches would have subscribed to that notion, when Nick Saban was coaching at Michigan State, all right, and you're an assistant under him at Michigan State, and you're like, and you get another job, whether it's a big job or a small job, and you don't try to poach coaches. Well, you don't poach coaches because you think that Nick Saban's staying at Michigan State. Only problem is he's not. Or he goes to LSU. Hey, I'm on Nick's staff. You know, I don't want to poach any coaches. We got a good thing going here at LSU. And then he goes to coach the Dolphins. So you don't know.
But he usually brings his staff with him, though, right?
But I can't wait for that. I can't rely on that.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't know if I'm a coach, an assistant under Nick, or whomever. I don't know when they might get the itch to either jump to a different program or to the professional ranks. So I'm poaching and I'm running. That's it. Tough.
Are you in tough. Or are you out?
Another week, another number one team goes down. This has been tough. Last night, Chris Beard and Texas Tech took out top-rated Louisville. It has been bonkers at the top of the NCAA so far. It's been a lot of fun. They won by 13, did the Red Raiders there. Just over a month of action, we've now seen four number one teams lose, starting with Michigan State, then Kentucky, then Duke to Stephen F. Austin, and now the Cardinals to Texas Tech. Beard's the reigning AP Coach of the Year after the Red Raiders made it to the national championship game, but the team fell out of the top 25 after suffering three straight losses before last night's big upset. In or out, Beard has turned Tech into an elite program.
I'm good. This is a tough one. Because you get as far as they went last year, it's hard to say that they're not an elite program. They also lost a lot of their stars, their scoring stars, and so he's starting over with some freshmen and younger players who weren't playing.
And Tariq Owens, who was their defensive star, swatting shots at the rim.
Exactly. So I'm going to say I'm going to say inbounds only because I really like him as a coach, and I love, you know, watching his journey last year.
Yep.
It's got to be more consistent, but I'm going to say yeah. It's a program that you want to go to now because of him.
I'm going to say inbounds as well. I think that your instincts are right on this, and here's my reasoning. Now, if he would have catapulted Texas Tech, like somehow if he would have gotten like a five-star recruit and they went from average in the Big 12 to elite, you're like, whoa, okay, that's maybe a little circumstantial. Do you sustain that? Chris Beard's defensive principles are without compromise. That is a staple of his program. He recruits the like-minded kids, tough kids, almost like Izzo. And I believe that they won last night without their best player, without their highest-scoring offensive player. And they limited Louisville to sub-60 points. I mean, that's a big-time effort. It's a great bounce back. It shows resilience. My answer is inbounds. I agree. They are an elite program.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Yeah, you're right. Ramsey was out last night. 17, 18 points a game.
He's their main guy.
He was out last night.
I thought so.
And they still won.
All right. Diesel, would you boo if you were a devout Raptors fan? What would you do with Kawhi tonight?
Standing ovation all night.
Attaboy. Diesel, Samantha, what would you do?
Boo the man.
No, you wouldn't. Come
boo
on.
The man.
Stop.
You're being contrarian.
He wouldn't boo him.
Boo the man.
CC Sabathia next on the Garrett Cole contract.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.